Turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. We're taking a look at this church, considering this church there in Thessalonica. And if you've given out a map, if anybody here, we've got a few maps up here. If you need a map, anybody need a map? I know Brother David needs a map, so I'll get him a map. Just happened to think of that. You're welcome. The map in your back of your Bible is probably better than that one, but that'll let you refer to the geography. Anybody else need a map? All right, so just it's good for us, to know that. Just like we live in Logan County, Kentucky, and we're real folks, right? Just pinch yourself. Or pinch the, well, I don't know, don't pinch the person beside you. You'll find out that you're real. We're real. We're here. They were real. And they were there where they lived, and they were people just like us. Their specific situation is different than ours, but their general situation was the same as us, exactly the same. And so we want to take a look at them and consider them there in Thessalonica and that part of Macedonia up there in the northwestern part of the Aegean Sea. And we've taken a look in Acts about how the Apostle Paul and those that were with him, they had thought that they would go, to the northeast, there in Bithynia and those regions. That's what they sought to do. But the Lord wanted something else. And so the Macedonian call, as we understand, and we have that song that refers to such, we took a look about that. And in this going to Thessalonica, Philippi, Neapolis, Philippi, Apollonia, Thessalonica, Berea, and so on, is a result of the Lord leading and working and directing the apostle to get to these folks. It was time for them to hear the gospel. And we took a look there in the book of Acts about how their situation was. The apostle went there and preached and taught in the synagogue there for 3 weeks. That's the timing that we have. It's possible, I guess, that could have been longer, but we have that timing that was there. Seemingly a short time that he was at Thessalonica, but nevertheless, there were folks saved. We believe a church was established, and certainly it was established because the apostles writing to them. And so we took a look last time in the first part of this chapter, chapter 1, And we see this team, if you will, Paul and Silvanus, or Silas, we understand, and Timothy, who they picked up along the way in the course of the second missionary journey. And here he talks to them about their election of God and how it is that they were the elect of God, but that was manifested that they heard the gospel. That's how it was known. The Apostle Paul didn't have a hit list of people in Thessalonica knowing who were the elect of God, and he went and preached to them. No, he preached to all that would hear, and these folks believed. And so the gospel in verse number 5 there came to them not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost in much assurance. And so the Lord moved with his word and his spirit, and he convicted these people and saved them. We left off here, and we'll pick it up this time. We left off in verse number 7. We'll pick it up in verse number 8. And it says here, and we're going to take a look at in this few verses here at the end of this chapter, is their great witness. Listen to the great witness that they had. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord. They received the word of the Lord, right? And then they sounded it out. What they had received, they gave back again. That's the pattern in the scriptures in it. That's what Philip said that he preached. That's what the Apostle Paul said that he preached. It's what John the Baptist preached, right? It's what the apostles preached. What they had received is what they preached. And that's we don't need to find a new message or new words. What we need to preach what we have. We need to teach. We need to witness about what we've been given and what we have. He said, from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia. Take a look at your map, that northern part there, right, of Greece, okay, and Achaia, okay, that's that southern part. So see where Thessalonica is. It's over there on the east side of that central, as far as north and south goes, But over there to the east of that region of Macedonia, which is all of northern Greece, their witness went out all that way. And it went out not only there, but to Achaia, that down there south, okay, in southern Greece. Their witness went out. Evidently, these folks traveled, and they did business, and they had family, and they had acquaintance and different ones, and they shared the word of God that had been given to them by which they were saved, and they gave it out to others. And seemingly, they didn't spare. They had now, I was thinking about that this week in consideration of the message tonight and this portion of Scripture, they now had one God and one Savior. Oh, you mean you're telling me that you want to have a family and children and I'm glad I don't remember those Greek and Roman gods, because it just really doesn't do us well to much know about them. But you don't need a God for fertility? And then don't you need a God for your crops? And don't you need a God for success in your business? And they had all kinds of gods. Remember what the apostle, he's going to run into at Athens, at the Areopolis right there, the place where they had all the things there for their gods. And if history serves, if we understand history correctly, in time they even expanded that. Okay, they kind of updated it, okay, and made another one. But there on Mars Hill, the apostle, as he went there, he was beckoned of them to come and tell about the things that he preached there in Athens after he has been at Thessalonica and Berea. And the commentary there in the book of Acts is that he was grieved because he saw the whole city given to idolatry, because they had a God for everything. They were so very religious that they had a monument to the unknown God. All right, so in case they left any God out, they had that one there. Well, and Paul preached to them about that one because he was unknown to them. And that is God Almighty, the God. So these people, they had many gods. Now they have one God, one Savior. One Savior who lived on the earth, right? Isn't that the testimony of the apostles? He came, that God came down and became a man and lived. And he died. Why would a God die? Oh, but he didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead. That's what got many of their attention. Many of them, it got their attention about this resurrection. The resurrection. That Jesus Christ, the Son of God, part of the Trinity, gave his life, and while he was dead, was able to take back his life again. That got their attention. And they heard, and they believed, and they trusted in him. So now they've gone from being having many gods, or polytheistic, right? They've got one God. And he's the God for everything, whether it be the crops, the business, the family, health, whatever it is. He's the one that they trust in and they go to for everything. Because he's God of all. And so this witness of theirs, it went out. Sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God were to spread abroad. So I want you to think about, I told you last time, we're going to be on lookout as best we can for hints about where the epistle was written from. But where Paul is right now in writing this epistle to the church at Thessalonica, where he is right there and where he's been, he's heard about the witness of that Thessalonican church. It's going out all over. And look at that region. Look how big that is. That's not just a county. You hear that? And these were, if you will, compared to the population of Thessalonica, were few people. But look how far their witness spread. Listen what the apostle says about it. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad. To Godward, faith to Godward, one God, is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. The apostle went to places, they didn't need to tell the gospel. The folks from Thessalonica, the word from them already had arrived there. The apostle wasn't in the breaking of the ground kind of affair. He was there from the standpoint, if I understand it right, from just reaffirming. Yes, that's true. That's the truth. That's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For they, verse number 9, for they themselves show us, these that they meet, they show us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Not a God of stone, not a God of gold, or wood, or silver, or pottery, but a living God, a spiritual God, a God that was alive. And those that worship Him are alive spiritually. And look forward to the resurrection from the dead. Look forward to a better day. What we have studied and what we've known historically about religions of other gods, I was thinking about there in Egypt, how it would be that if a leader, a great leader in Egypt, or a pharaoh would die, they would take much of his household, his wives, and his servants and such as that, and they would put them all there in the crypt and either kill them or seal them up, and they would have provision. They would find wheat. They'd find food. They'd find the stuff of life that's needed for the trip to the other side. Because that's the way man thinks it's going to be on the other side, is what we know here and now. It's going to be real, and there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. But with what the Lord does for us, we're not going to need the stuff of this life, are we? Why is it? You know, think about it. Think about what the Scripture says. Jesus Christ is going to be the fulfilling of every good blessing and desire that we have in this life. Think about that. That's the truth. Jesus is going to be the fulfilling of it. Jesus is going to be, on the other side, Jesus is going to be the fulfilling of the blessing and the fulfillment that we have in our marriages and our families. I love my wife, and I thank God for her. And she's a blessing to me from the Lord. But you know what? We know and understand, and are blessed to understand from the Scriptures, that on the other side, I love her as a son of God. Okay, that's what the Scripture says. And it doesn't short anything about our marriage and the blessing that we have in that now. But Jesus will be the fulfilling of that. Well, I just don't know how I could do without my spouse or my children. Well, we desire that all be saved and that all be there. But not for the sake of our fulfillment, but for the sake of honoring and worshiping and praising and being with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He'll be the fulfillment of everything. He'll be the answer to everything. What the good blessings of God on that side that we experience here, Jesus will be the answer to that on the other side. And so they have faith towards Godward, that it has been spread abroad. He needs not speak anything. They turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. He's not a God that's far away, but He's a God that's near. Inside. Amen? Living within. Oh, may we not quench or grieve the Spirit of God. Verse number 10. Turn from idols to serve the living and true God. And verse 10, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So what was preached is not only the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, repentance and faith in Him, a turning from sin and dead works to serve the living God, but a hope of the Savior coming for them. He's coming back. He's coming back. And we know by the writings to this church, we have some wonderful things that were told, comforting words, right, in chapter 4 about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, about those who are dead in Christ. Their attitude now is not the attitude that maybe they once had, so much so that the Romans had. And where'd they get it from? Well, they got it from the Greeks. Eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow we die. No, that's not their life and their hope now, is it? Oh, that they have hope to live forever. So this word sounded out. It was widespread. Even this church, we don't know how large they were, but even in a small number in comparison to the population of Thessalonica and Berea, the word went out from them. That's the testimony of the apostle. They turn to God from idols, and they serve Him, and they wait for Jesus to come. And so that testimony is there, and they're telling it over and over again. God, help us that we tell it. I need to tell it more. I need to go fishing with the gospel more. I need to tell what my hope is more. We need to tell it to those round about us. May God give us the help and the courage that we would do so. Chapter 2, the ministry of these men to this church. Verse number 1, for yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. How would it be in vain? Well, they would go there, they would preach the gospel, and no one would believe. Okay? I think that's the context. Would it be in vain from the standpoint of accomplishing the commission of the Lord, the commission to His church of the Lord? No, it wouldn't be in vain in regards to that, because the Word of God, the gospel, the seed had been sown. But from the standpoint of the salvation of their souls, if they did not receive the Word with faith, then it was in vain. Now, I think that's the context that he's coming from. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God, which with much contention. We saw, and we read over there in the book of Acts how it was. Man, those Jews that just, they were just ground by it. They were grieved by people maybe going to these fellows, people being soft. They would look on it as them becoming soft to these strangers, and they're threatening to leave the synagogue, and they're threatening to leave the Jewish faith, and they're threatening to change their lives, and then maybe, and then Gentiles also. The reference I think is here in this chapter that Gentiles were turning to the Lord. They were believing the Word of God, and they were trusting in the Savior, and it brought contention. And that's what the good Word of God, the good work of God is going to when the good work of God takes place, there's going to be resistance. Mark it down. Mark it down. Don't have rose-colored glasses on that when you serve the Lord and you're faithful to the Lord, that you're not going to have trial, temptation, and problem, because you will. And you know what? We'll likely be stretched. We'll likely be tested at the place that we're the weakest. It's just the truth. We'll be stretched at the place that we're the weakest. Whether it be with our family, our marriage, our children, our grandchildren, our friends, our community standing, we'll be tested where we're the weakest. But we need to look to the Lord. We need to obey Him. Much contention. Remember, Brother Jason was drawn out there to the authorities, or out to that crowd. Remember those lewd base fellows that were hired by the Jews to stir up the people. Remember that? And they took those fellows, they drug them out in the street, trying to turn the mob against them, it seemed. I mean, they for their faith in Christ, they paid. We don't have a clue what that's like. Maybe try to witness to somebody and they just say, no, I'm not interested. Or maybe even they'd cuss you out or something like that. We don't know. We don't have a clue. At least I don't, to know what it is to try to be a witness to folks of the truth or stand in the truth. Somebody lay hands on me and do something to me. That's what these brethren went through. And you know what? Paul and Silas, by the time that they arrived at Thessalonica, they'd already been thrown in jail. At Philippi, they'd been put in jail. They'd been put in the center of the prison and put in stocks in the middle of the jail. And what were they found? Remember that account there in Acts about the account there at Philippi? They were found at midnight singing. Oh, I pray if that would ever happen to me, may the Lord help me that I would be able to rejoice in Him. You know, they said, hey, because of what we Simply what we preach and teach and believe about Jesus. We're here in this place. Wrongfully. But we're able to suffer like Jesus suffered. And you know what? That's what it took. That's what it took to reach that Philippian jailer. Lydia had been saved. The Philippian jailer and some of his household were saved. And we don't have an account there of thousands of people being saved, do we? But a few souls is the account that we have. And Paul and Silas, when those magistrates sent down there, said, well, let those guys out of jail. And Paul said, well, you've condemned us wrongfully being Romans and whipped us, I think is what it was. Being uncondemned, we've had no trial. And being Romans, we're supposed to have a trial. So then they kind of sheepishly came down and got them in and said, you're free to leave. Get out of here. And well, they went into Lydia's house, and they were there with the brethren for a time, and then they loaded up and went back to Antioch. No, they didn't, did they? They were shamefully entreated in Philippi, and you know what they did? They went ahead and kept on going west. Hear that? They went on to the next town, and they ended up ultimately from Apollonia, and you see there ultimately to Thessalonica. Yeah. The gospel, we were bold in our God. When they got there to Thessalonica, they continued to preach. They didn't shy back from preaching the gospel in Thessalonica because they had been thrown in jail in Philippi. They didn't shy back, but they were bold to preach it. Remember how it was there with the first church in Jerusalem? Remember how it was that they were persecuted by the Jews? And when they would be released by them, the apostles, they would thank the Lord that they were worthy to suffer for Jesus' name. You know, may the Lord help us. You know, may the Lord help us. And I'm afraid to just talk to somebody here in our free country about the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord forgive me. May the Lord help me that we would be bold in Christ. And to speak to them, to tell them, just simply tell them what the Lord's done for us. Thank the Lord that our brethren did. Amen. This moving west is ultimately the moving of the gospel west to us. Let us not forget that. So their entrance was not in vain, but they preached the gospel with boldness by the blessing of the Lord. And there was much contention. Verse number 3. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor uncleanness, nor in guile. Well, there's a recipe for ministering. Don't be lying to folks. Don't be doing the shell game with folks. But preach to them the truth and leave the saving up to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was talking to a brother here recently about the way of many so-called Baptists in the day. It's one brother, even from amongst Southern Baptists, he said, what we've got going on here is a Ponzi scheme. He said, we've got people going out the back door, and all we're trying to do by hook, crook, and gimmicks and programs to parallel the offering of the world and all that is trying to keep more coming in the front door than is going out the back door. You know, salvation of the Lord is not just to show up one Sunday and say that you're saved, and as my father would say, take the pledge, and then next year be missing. But salvation is a life changer. That's being reconciled to God. You know, and we see that. We see that with those different groups and different organizations, and we know that there's things about that aren't right. And we don't need to rail on them so much as we just need to stand for what's true, and we need to do what's true. Need to do it. Not just talk about those that don't, but we need to do it. And do it. He said, their exhortation, it wasn't with deceit, or it wasn't uncleanness, or it wasn't in deception or in guile. But as we were allowed, verse number 4, of God to be put in trust with the gospel, there it is, even so we speak. Once again, they gave out what they'd already received. We've got nothing new. But we've got something really, really good, and that's the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. His death, His burial, His resurrection, His coming again for His saints, and the offering of Himself, His body, His blood, His soul, for the salvation of sinners, for the forgiveness of sins, for the granting of everlasting life, for the rescue from sin, self, the world, hell, all those things. Wow. May the Lord help us that we tell it. They were entrusted with the gospel and they spoke that. Verse in the middle part of verse number 4, not as pleasing men, because it won't please men, but pleasing God. See, there it is. We saw that this morning. Be ye reconciled unto God. We want to be accepted as children of the Lord, pleasing to Him. It's not, we're not in a trade with God. Understand that as children, our soul is secure. We've been saved. We've been changed. We're there. We're alive in Christ. And we'll be alive forevermore. But don't you want to please the one that's called you? Yeah. Yeah. As we should. And going after the world won't please our Lord. But following and obeying Him and His Word will indeed please Him. They had this gospel that was put to their trust, and they spoke that very thing. And it didn't please men, it pleased God, which trieth our hearts. He knows the motive, doesn't He? We stand before Him. I tell you, brothers and sisters, talking about the still small voice of the Lord this morning, do you feel guilt about anything? Do you feel guilty about anything? I tell you what, if you feel guilty about anything, confess it before God. Ask the Lord to forgive you and turn away from that thing and move on. You know, I'm persuaded, I know it by my own life, that I think there's many of the people of God that say, well, this has just had a deficit in my life, and I'm just going to have to live with it. And they carry guilt about that thing perpetually. I tell you what, take that thing to the Lord, and it may be impossible for you, but remember, with God all things are possible. With God all things are possible. And confess that thing before the Lord. You know what? You may be repenting of that thing and seeking the Lord's face and helping that thing for days or weeks or months or years. But take it to the Lord. Take it to Him. Don't say that it's impossible for the Lord to help with that or to change that or to do different and that in your life. Take it to the Lord. Get honest with God and ask Him to help. I tell you what, I believe He will. Some things may be harder for one person than another. But with the Lord, all things are possible. With Him, there is indeed grace to help in time of need, right? Isn't that what the Scripture tells us? With trieth our hearts, verse number 5, for neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. They didn't go in there to butter them up. It wasn't with great eloquence or great oratory that they persuaded folks, but they told them the truth. Did they do the best that they can? Paul was a learned man. And he didn't turn away from the learning and the education that he had in the Word of God, but he yet used it right. How now being saved, now being called of the Lord. He didn't take what he was blessed of the Lord and not use it, but that which he could use, he did use. And it wasn't buttering people up. It wasn't with a cloak of covetousness. So we'll go in here, Silas. We'll go into Thessalonica. We'll win these people over to our way, and then we'll take up a big offering. It wasn't to get their stuff. It wasn't to get in there and make a living from them. But it was in interest of their souls. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. God knows the truth of that. Doesn't matter what it may look like to some people. Doesn't matter what some people would accuse of. Nor of men sought we glory. We weren't looking to draw a fan club to ourselves. Neither of you, nor yet of others. Verse number 6, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. I think what he's talking about there is it could have been that once they were saved and once they were the Lord's in that, that the apostle could have required of them for them to support them. But because of this work amongst the Gentiles, the apostle, he didn't use the liberty that he would have to require such of them, but he rather, in that case, worked that there be no occasion for any offense. There be no occasion for anybody to say anything and that they were in this thing for what he could get. But he says, but we were gentle among you. Even so gentle as a nurse cherisheth her children, gentle, telling the truth, but not requiring things even that he could have, not be burdensome. Being, verse number 8, being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not only the gospel of God only, but also our own souls. Wow. May the Lord help me to have a burden for people like that. What is in the book of Romans? The apostle writes, he says, I could wish myself accursed for my own countrymen. Wow. That is agape love, isn't it? That's Jesus kind of love. You know, I don't know if I can step up there like that. But that's what he said. He said, we would have spent ourselves completely for your sake. For your sake. Look what he says here in verse number 8. Because ye were dear unto us. You were dear unto us. Look over here in the latter part of chapter number 2. Look at here in verse number 19. For what is our hope? The apostle writes, or joy. What is our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? He said, I'm not looking for a physical crown that I can wear on my head of my faithfulness to the Lord and him using me in the ministry. I'm not looking for some reward that I can have and maybe lay up in my mansion in glory. You know what? My reward and my glory, my blessing is that you be there before the Lord, saved as his children. Not the reward of stuff, but the great reward and blessing of souls. Just men made perfect before the Lord. Amen. He said, it doesn't get any better than that. We know that he writes to Timothy and he writes to Onesimus or Philemon. He makes references as the apostle writes about different brethren. He says, you're my son in the faith. I've begotten you. Because he was used of the Lord to be a witness to them, and the Lord took his testimony and his witness, and they were saved, and he claimed them as spiritual sons that way. Tell you what, there is indeed no greater blessing to be used of the Lord to carry the gospel to folks, and the Lord used that and work in them and save them. There's no greater blessing. There's no greater reward. There's no greater glory. He says, for what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? What's my crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ as is coming? That when the trumpet sounds, you'll go up too. When the trumpet sounds, your grave will open up and you'll go up too. You'll be there before the Lord. There's nothing greater that made the apostle rejoice greater than that. For ye are our glory and joy. May the Lord help us that we have our hearts right about our service and witness to others. We need to be. Our time to do so is passing by quick. And our liberty, our freedom that we have in our country is so great. It's so easy. Yet seemingly in that ease, it's easy for us to cower back and back off. May the Lord help us. I don't want to be that way. When that still small voice of the Lord speaks, I want to listen to Him. I want to give that track. Go speak to Him. Tell Him. And remember our brethren that have endured much, much greater things than we have. You know, maybe that's what it is that we've been so blessed with so many things that when you're brought down to nothing, then the Lord's all you have. You know what I'm saying? Well, I need to realize, I need to live, we need to live that the Lord's all we have, no matter what we have. You hear what I'm saying? That the Lord, He is what we have, no matter what we have. And to be faithful. And be faithful to tell it. A church at Thessalonica, I hope you're getting to know them a little better. Amen? These are our brothers and sisters in Christ. They're there waiting on us. Won't it be something? We'll get to be there in glory one day and talk to them. Won't that be something? Yeah, that's for real. I believe that's for real. May the Lord help us with His words.